and welcome, everybody. Great American Golf. I'm your caddy for the show. That's it. This is the podcast, 25 years on the air, Great American Golf. And I'm so excited to continue to be with you and maybe more excited for the next 25 years. Why not? All I know is we've got a lot of golf to talk about today. Our resident PGA professional, Craig Renshaw, is now living full-time in Florida around the Jupiter area. He and his family moved there a couple of months ago, and they've been transitioning now. But he is busy today with golf courses and some work going on, so he will not be able to join us. He'll be back with us on Monday, of course, for the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. We will continue our great conversations about some events that happened last weekend, and we talked about them on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show several days ago, but we'll mention those events again and give due propers to those winners and what have you. We'll look at the schedule going forward for the various tours. And we also have a DP World Tour going on that we'll have a look at, and that is at the Trump International Golf Course in Aberdeen, Scotland. So we continue this Irish and the Scottish golf going on over the last, month or so, with not only the men playing the Scottish Open, then the Open Championship, the ladies playing their Scottish Open, then their Open Championship. And then, of course, we have the DP World now in Scotland, in Aberdeen. So lots and lots of Lynx golf that we've spoken about the last month or so and even leading up to it. So we'll be talking about that as well. Playoffs at the St. Jude in Memphis. My dad was born in Memphis, Tennessee. And in Gallatin, Tennessee, a lot of my family on dad's side are from that area. So I'm very familiar with it. I went to school up the road from Nashville, Tennessee, in Gallatin area, in Louisville, Kentucky. It's where I got my graduate degree before coming back home to Phoenix, Arizona, here, where these shows all emanate from, but then they are placed on the Golf News Net. So this Great American Golf podcast, as well as the Monday Golf Lifestyles now, go into the Golf News Net. com. They air on their day, Saturday morning, of course, now, a couple of three times during the day. They're then sent off to the big audio platforms. I've mentioned those before. However you get your audio and your music and your podcast, as well as the television show, Match Play with Ray Adams, goes to the Golf News Net as well. There's a couple new episodes going up very quickly, and you're going to not want to miss those. So you go to the TV tab at the Golf News Net instead of the radio tab. You go to the TV tab and you find Match Play with Ray Adams. And then after that the show airs for a while, it can air for a week or two, or maybe even a month or so. It is then sent over to Roku and Amazon Fire and Apple and various other video platforms where you get your wonderful video content. Streaming on demand. This is exciting for me. We're in I don't think we're in a transition anymore. All of this started back in April, and we've been going April, May, June, July, and now we're well into August. So April, May, June, July, 4 months plus, and we have kind of debugged it, and we are still working on some new innovations and things like that. But I have to thank Ryan Ballingy. He is the owner, purveyor of the Golf News Net. And Ryan, just live on the air in front of everybody, thank you so very much for what you do for Great American Golf and this show and the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show on Mondays, and therefore the Match Play with Ray Adams TV show. And with all of that said, Dr. Bob Denny, our resident PGA of America historian emeritus, has found his way into and onto the show. Welcome to you, Dr. Bob. I was just introducing the show, and I've got a couple more quick introductions because, you know, folks, these shows could never have been going for 25 years, Great American Golf and the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, and Match Play with Ray Adams TV show for now in my 16th season. These shows could never happen without you, and they're for you. But we have to have sponsors. And I know that you are very good about listening to my breaks during television and during the radio shows and listening to companies and their, yes, their advertisements about who they are and what they do, how they can help you, how you can have more fun, improve your game. Well, and other companies that are maybe not golf that can also be important value to you. But I want to give you a great golf company who's been with me for years, and we could not do the shows without Squares Golf Shoes. They have been voted time and time again over the years in multiple ways, award-winning Squares Golf Shoes. But here's one for you because we're coming into the, the latter part of the summer, and there's a lot of club championships going on, member guest. Muni courses have leagues. There's just fun out on the golf course every week with friends. So here's what Square says to you. They say, "Hey, golfer, let's be real. Club championship time is not the time to second guess your footing. You've put in the work. You know the course like the back of your hand. Your swing feels dialed in, but what are you stepping into on the first tee?" That's a great question. What are you stepping into, golfers, as far as ground force reaction, comfort, distance, all the things you need from a golf shoe? Scuff soles, worn spikes, same old shoes you've had for season after season. These are the rounds where you want every shot to count. You don't want to be the guy or the gal who slips on 17 or loses power off the tee because your shoes can't hold up to the pressure. Well, the Squares LT series was built for this kind of pressure. Squares LT series is a lightweight feel, rock solid stability, and more traction where it counts shoe. These are the shoes that hold up when your game is on the line. Not sure which LT model is right for your swing, your walk, or your course conditions? Well, what do you need to do? You need to go to read the LT series guide right now. Where do you find that? SQAIRZ squares.com. And I have to thank Squares so much again for being such a wonderful sponsor for so many years. It is an honor. It is a privilege. I wear Squares on camera. I wear them when I'm playing. I wear them when I'm practicing any time out on the course. And I also have turned thousands and thousands of people onto Squares golf shoes. And I will continue to do that as we go forward, as we're doing right now. Thank you so much for that. I also want to thank CertaFreshCigar.com. I've been doing this the last few shows because CertaFresh has been with me for so many years. You want to go to CertaFreshCigar.com. I'm helping them open even more and more and more golf shops. So if you're a golf course, a general manager, head pro, buyer, merchandiser at any golf course, anywhere, private, public, municipal, or you're a golf sports shop, whatever, you want to get into CertaFresh Cigars. Powered by Bovida, the proprietary humidification system, the world's greatest brands, great prices. They can customize their tubes for your outings, your corporate, your nonprofits, and for your golf shop. CertaFreshCigar.com. All right, Bob, a couple of wonderful companies that have been with me for so long. We had to mention them, and I know the folks listening appreciate it, and they'll go there and check them out more. More to come on some sponsors throughout the show. And Dr. Bob Denny right here, our PGA of America historian emeritus. Dr. Bob, this is such a wonderful golf tournament because of over the decades, the great cause. You can fill us in on that with a little bit of history. We've got a little bit of a weather suspension going on, but we have a full, excuse me, it was a suspension going on. But what a great leaderboard. And what about Tommy Fleetwood? But before we get to the leaderboard and what's happening out there today, tell me what's going on with the history of this golf tournament.
Well, every year since 1958, this championship's been on the PGA calendar under different names, but right now it's a FedEx St. Jude with a great title sponsor, and it will never ever cease to be one of the best titles and sponsors and profits for the best benefactors in the world as children that are suffering. And I think it's tremendous that they have this event. And Here we are in the calendar, and we see some people say, well, are playoffs even necessary? Well, in this case, yes. If it's FedEx St. Jude, that's my point of view. And we're just happy to see that this has held its own, at least on the name side, and for the benefactors of a very special organization within this country.
I believe it was Danny Thomas, the actor and what have you, that created this whole nonprofit foundation. His daughter, Marlo Thomas, an actress as well, continued the legacy, continued the work of this. And I have said many times to myself, I said it to my little mom when she would kind of get down and, down a little bit. And I've done it myself. And people who are in a difficult time in their life and they think they have lots of problems, I've said, all we need to do is think about the young, beautiful children that are at these children's hospitals. Here in Phoenix, it's the Phoenix Children's Hospital. And I have walked down those corridors before to get my mind right, to get my heart right, and to realize that I don't have any problems at all compared to those families, those little children, those moms and dads that are suffering along. And hospitals like, the St. Jude and the work that they've done for decades, like you said, and like we're saying, we keep them in our prayers. We keep them near to our checkbook. And this golf tournament over the decades has really put in, I'm presuming, Bob, I would be love to know the number. Don't worry about it, but I know that it's millions and millions and millions of dollars over the decades. Yep.
My ties to the same cause are with the University of Iowa, which has its children's hospital overlooking Kinnick Stadium. So I understand the same drive and the same passion as what Danny Thomas had when back in 1962 with his close friend Anthony Abraham, who was from Miami and an auto magnet, founded the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. And since its inception, has treated children from all 50 states and around the world. So it's great to see this continue in its form. And not to be repetitive, but I think it's the greatest thing ever when it helps children in need. And obviously, they're helping the economics of the whole thing is what's the important thing.
Well, the
The
kid,
fa fa
the
families
parents,
are
the, they don't have to
families
pay
do.
a, I'm
That's
sorry, they
right.
don't have to pay a penny, right?
That's right. And the same with Iowa. They're getting donors and the same thing. So continuing the trend, the tradition, and it's wonderful.
All right, we'll have a look at the leaderboard here in just a little minute, a little bit. Kayla, Tommy Fleetwood is playing some outstanding golf, and we're going to continue on with that, and we'll have that discussion. But let's go back to Monday evening and do a little crossover to where we make the connection. I know that we were very, very impressed with Cam Young and his play at Wyndham, and it looks like Tommy Fleetwood might have shook Cam Young's hand, and we might see Tommy Fleetwood go all the way through. And let's see how he plays and how the rest of the field does. But it looks like he might, with his score starting out Saturday, maybe has the opportunity to catch the Cam Young scoring fever. I don't know. What do you make of it?
I think it's a little too early for that. I've learned
Yes.
when
Yeah.
it because Tommy Fleetwood is sort of the traditional bridesmaid that just can't catch that bouquet at the end of the ceremony. And I really feel for him. There's a lot of people cheering for him. When he was sinking putts on Friday, there were some big cheers in the grandstands. And that's a European player who's transcended and come over, and people know his efforts and how much he's tried and worked so hard to try to get that first PGA Tour victory. I'm looking at the people that are chasing him, Ray, and I think there's a lot of good people down there that have a good chance.
Oh, yeah.
There's one's particular always comes up in my viewpoint, and that's Justin Rose. And I just like the way he's playing. I think Luke Donald and the Ryder Cup team is going to be very happy with way Justin's coming to into form leading into September.
Absolutely. Also, this is National Golf Month. We mentioned that on Monday, and
Yes.
it came out of the blue to everybody. I also want to, before we say that I believe it was yesterday was Purple Heart Day, National Purple Heart Day. And why do I mention that in conjunction with golf? There have been so many military events and golf events benefiting our military, from folds of honor to wounded warriors to so many of them. I did a full television show with over in San Diego for the nonprofit organization called Operation Game On. And we filmed it over in San Diego. Pat Perez and Tony Pat Perez, who plays on the, well, on the PGA Tour for many years, went over to live. But Tony Perez, his father and I, friends for many years. Tony Perez founded this. He's a former Marine, and it's a way for golf to help the medical recovery, both mentally and physically, of wounded military men and women coming back and being at the medical naval station there, medical hospital in San Diego. That's called Operation Game On. So there's so many different military organizations that benefit from golf. And I mentioned Purple Heart Day because I've met so many, probably over 100 Purple Heart recipients over the years of being in golf. I have a great friend. His name is Jim. What a patriot, the valor and the guts he showed in Vietnam, where not only was he blown up, but then they put him back and he was shot to pieces. He lived, he recovered, two Purple Hearts, went on to have a great career, and still today, although he's in his late 70s, he's like a big brother to me, and I love him to pieces, and I congratulate him and thank him for his service, as I do all of the Purple Heart and all of the military people before and now that have gone by and that are still serving. And golf has so much to do with helping those people. So National Purple Heart Day, but it's also National Golf Month. What about it?
Well, just to back up for a second, this is the 18th year that I've worked with veterans in some capacity, and my job is public relations and writing about them, promoting them, and helping organizations such as PGA Hope, Clearview Hope in East Canton with Renee Powell, and the Give Foundation in Iowa, which was the model for the country. So I echo your thoughts there, Ray. And as for National Golf Month, it originally started as National Golf Day in 1952, when Ben Hogan was given the as a rabbit for people to try to beat him with their handicap. Life magazine sponsored it, and the PGA of America supported it. It drew big numbers back then, and people, if they beat Ben with their handicap, they would receive a gold medal. And I also I've seen it evolve through the through to this point now, and it really doesn't have a big presence at all on some of the websites that I've seen, but over at Disney, they said, "Come play our golf courses, the happiest place on turf." And
Yeah.
I thought it was really nice to see that they have not forgotten about National Golf Month.
I think that's wonderful. Instead of the happiest place on earth, I guess it is.
On turf.
No, I know, but the original,
Yes, yes, yes,
their equity
yes.
tagline is the happiest place on earth. Now,
Yes.
for National Golf Month, it's the happiest place on turf. I love that. Disney, of course, they're always going to come up with creative things like that. And then from Monday, and this past week, in tears of joy and sadness, mixed emotions, we watched Ian Baker Finch, the wonderful professional golfer and open champion years ago. His game fell into some difficulty scoring. He ended up retiring from golf. And for the last how many years, you tell me, I can't remember, but many, couple of decades, he's been now a golf analyst and commentator for golf in the broadcast booth. Ian Baker Finch from Australia, finally, and I say finally, he finally decided. He said he'd been thinking about it for a couple of years, but finally this was the time to do it. He said, it just seems like the right timing to me, he said, and so he retires. And it was very emotional. I was a little bit, I didn't shed a tear or anything, but I was very intently heartfelt about that send-off they gave him on TV last Sunday. You tell me.
It was really warm and just a great way to say a farewell to a person who is not leaving us physically, but just
No.
leaving us professionally. That's the best part about it. But he was a class act, and you could see how much the people and the staff and people around the game of golf loved him and appreciated him. He was a classic voice. He was a welcome voice on the air. And I think it was made a tremendous transition after the disappointment of his getting out of the prime of his competitive career when he was young at this point. So I think it was just great to see him blend in so well on television. And I venture to say he's probably the most recognizable and probably the most classic Australian analyst of the game that ever been in our lifetime.
I totally agree. Yeah, just a lovely man, and a wonderful way that he looked. I liked his mind and how he looked at the game and commented on the game. But he's not going away from golf. He is going to focus on helping and supporting a lot of golf going on down in his country, of Australia. That's what I read this week. What's going to become of Ian Baker Finch? Well, he's going to do that and a few other things as well. So he's going to stay active in the game to grow the game and support the game, and especially in his home country. So hats off and our great send off. But stay around, Ian. Make sure that you check in once in a while so we can hang out with you. And yes, you might imagine I am going to try to get in touch with him and have him on the show. We're working on that already, by the way. I have the feelers out. And Bob, if there's anything you can do, let me know. By the way, on that note, we have some great guests coming up. I know Bob's got a few guests he's working on getting with us. We're going to have a couple of repeat guests that Bob has helped us get on before. And I have four or five very, very captivating guests. I think you're going to be compelled by their place and their get being a guest on the show. One of them might absolutely come out of your back, way back from the past. And you might really very much enjoy this guest that I did a two-part television show with that will be put together and airing very soon on the Golf News Net and then over on all the big video content platforms where you get your TV online. So this guest, I think you're really going to like, but they're all coming up and they're all great. So lots happening. And we have a couple of new wonderful sponsors late in the show today. I'm going to be introducing them. All right. No wonder Scottie Scheffler has played so well over the last 4 years. But here recently, I was watching some TV and I saw some stats on him. He's just leading in all of the statistics. Shots gained off the tee, number one. Shots gained on approach, number one. That means he's driving the ball well. That means he is hitting the greens in not only regulation, but beyond that. And of course, we saw his putting completely change over the last few months, haven't we, Bob?
Yes, I've seen the claw grip being used on those 10 or less footers and 10 or feet or less, and he's making about 80% of those. So he's very solid with those. Tremendous bounce back ability, and like you said, he keeps the ball in play. That's the biggest thing. Friday he had trouble at the FedEx St. Jude because he was in the rough, and if you get into that kind of rough in Memphis over there, it's like a steel wall. You just cannot get out.
I have been surprised to see that the rough is pretty gnarly and difficult. And when you have weather, of course, leading up or putting into it, you're going to get even more difficult. That's sort of the obvious, but we'll see how things go. It's the weekend. Anything can happen. Now, I know, Bob, that you also have a very special person that you have known for some time, and you want to say some very important words about this person. So let's hear it.
The sad news from the PG of America membership roll is the passing of Rick Hartman, who was the 2000 PGA Professional Player of the Year, Atlantic Golf Club in Bridgehampton, New York. That's in Long Island. And he passed away this past Tuesday at the age of 66 after about a long bout with cancer. And he was a two-time Met Open champ. The best thing about that was he represented this section so well. He was very close friends with one of my dear friends. People may recognize his name, Darrel Kessner, a past national champion. But Rick Hartman was a tremendous and well-loved in his section, tremendous at his club. And that's a club that's a very competitive with all around that area. And people in the Met section know how competitive you have to be just to hold on to those positions and that. There's tremendous players coming out of that. But Rick was a good person to be see at all the events that I covered when I was at the full time at the PGA of America. So I send our condolences to Claudette, his wife, and all his friends and family. We hate to hear say this again, but we do keep losing some of these great people to cancer. And it's just sad. And I had to pass it. Rick Hartman passes away at the age of 66.
I talked to a medical company today that's opening up a new medical clinic in Phoenix. It'll be opened here in a couple of 2 or 3 months. And this is their ninth clinic that they're opened. I'm talking to them about being a guest on the show to talk about what they do, because what they do is so unique and it's really new in people's minds. And I'm not going to get into the details. But one of the things I was talking to them about and that they were enlightening me is that you've got to have early detection. Now, this seems to be, it goes without saying you want early detection. But so many people wait and they wait and they wait and they wait. It's like waiting in a long line to die. Because if you are not going to your physician and getting the right kind of test on a regular basis, those things that need to be done, and it really doesn't matter what age you are. Folks, if you're in your 20s listening, go have a health examination. At least have a good annual checkup. And I can't encourage you more to wear your sunscreen. I've dealt with now skin cancer on multiple occasions. And I've talked about that. I'll continue to talk about it. My dermatologist is going to join us for a wellness segment and talk about skin cancer. So there's many, many things that can go wrong with the body. I mean, when you think of all of the thousands of things that could go wrong with the body, Dr. Bob, it's a wonder any of us are alive. And that's why we should thank the good Lord above that we are, according to the good book, it says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, whether you subscribe to any, spiritual, or religious or whatever, faith-based thinking, or just pure science, you must agree we are very, very unbelievably made as human beings because there's so much that can go wrong. Get to your doctor, get to your provider, get your testing done, do your preventative work, hydrate all over the place again. Watch your nutrition and take care of yourself. Doesn't mean that, Rodney Dangerfield said when later in his life, he said, everybody says I need to eat right and I need to drink carefully and I need to do this and I need to do that. He said, well, what's going to happen to me anyway? I'm going to get very sick and die anyhow. So, and that was a joke and I didn't do it much justice. But yes, of course, we all will one day come to the end of our lives, but we can certainly prolong our lives. I don't want to go on too long about that, but I think Bob, it's a fitting conclusion to a wonderful man who was a good friend and served golf for so long, and now his family grieves, and we can all help ourselves by making sure we get those checkups. All right, now, all I can tell you is this. The DP World Tour we mentioned is in Scotland. And we've had so much Scottish and Irish golf over the last several weeks that it just keeps going and going and going because it happened all at once, or happened sort of just because of scheduling years ago, that this was going to be the summer of Scotland, Ireland. And we had the Men's Scottish Open, we had the Open Championship, we had the Women's Scottish Open, we had the Women's Open Championship, and then we've had the Senior Open, and now we have the DP World playing in Scotland at the Trump International in Aberdeen, Scotland. And that leaderboard was on my monitor in my broadcast studio just a while ago. We'll mention that on Monday for the winner. But I do want to touch down for one moment. You remember a few years ago, there was a lot of uproar about having golf at any Trump property for that matter. And I know there was some issues over in Scotland area. You remember that?
Yes, and it still exists.
It does, but I guess they got over it because here we are. The DP World is playing at its course.
The RNA is not hosting a major on his property.
Not yet.
That's the difference.
Not yet.
Right.
Not yet. All things change, and yeah, we'll see how they do along the way. Now, whether they should or not, that's their business. I have no comment on that one way or the other. But I was interested to see that the DP World is there. And we'll wrap that up on Monday on the Golf Lifestyle Show, as we do every Monday. We wrap up all the world's golf, and then we make a beeline for some wonderful impact segments from superintendents to health, wellness, travel, culinary, even on and on it goes. And by the way, don't we have National Thank a Superintendent Day coming up here fairly quickly? We'll look that up. And as we get closer, we'll be careful about it because Jack Nicklaus, we have a I believe a 15-second commercial on this podcast and on the Monday Golf Lifestyle podcast, and we've had it running for years, where Jack says, if you love golf, make sure you thank your superintendent. And we're going to be drilling down a little bit on superintendents. We'll have a great one on, and we might even have the head of the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, because he has told me that he would enjoy and be willing to come on. So we'll be talking all about superintendents as we go forward during the month. Okay, Bob, what about the ladies? We know that there's lots going on with the ladies.
Well, they're taking a little break from the main tour, the LPGA tour. The PIF London Championship is happening right now in London at Centurion Club. Charlie Hall was supposed to be the one of the headliners but she injured some ligaments and an ankle on a fall yesterday in the parking lot. So she's not in the field. And August 14th, the LPGA resumes in Portland, Oregon, at the Standard Portland Classic. So that's currently what their schedule is at the moment.
Yep, very much so. And you could go down the line with all of their great tournaments coming up. So we're going to be talking about a lot of women in golf, a great women in golf. We'll have some women in golf on the show as we go forward. I told you we have some great guests coming up, folks. But there's lots happening, and we will be focusing on what the ladies are doing. And especially now that we have finished all five of the majors, the last one being the Women's Open Championship at Royal Porthcawl in Wales. That just happened last week, and so we're looking forward to lots more great golf coming up all the way down until we get to the CME Group Tour Championship in Naples, Florida at Tiburon. And that's an $11 million golf tournament, even more than the Women's Open. It is the highest paying golf tournament. Prize money on the schedule of the ladies, except for the Women's U.S. Open, that was 12 million, if I remember correctly. So lots going on with the ladies. What did they have? Something around 100, like a world record setting prize money this year, 100 or more million dollars in prize money, the most ever in history, something like that. And as we get down to it, we'll have some great lady players and women in golf on the show with us as well. And then what's happening with the Champions Tour?
They're out in Washington, the state of Washington, for the Boeing Classic. It's called the Club at Snoqualmie Ridge, believe it or not. And I don't know much about the golf course, but I do know about playing in the northwest, and I love that part of the world. And I did get to play at Sahale Country Club in Washington State, and I was just re really enjoy the kind of golf, and it's just a beautiful. The air is a lot cleaner, believe me. It's just beautiful out there.
Absolutely, it is. Well, I mean, we may have clean air in Phoenix, Arizona, but certainly nothing like that, as well as we also have, we set a record yesterday, 118 degrees. Just to let everybody know. Now it's a dry heat. I'll never forget in our local newspaper years ago, I was a kid growing up, teenager probably, there was a cartoon in the paper, and it was the desert with cactus and the scorching sun coming down on the desert floor, and there was a skeleton crawling and just dying for a drink of water, and the caption was, "Yeah, but it's a dry heat." So I've never forgot that, and it is a dry heat, but folks, be very careful if you are anywhere in the desert southwest over in up in the Las Vegas area, of course Arizona, southern Arizona, Phoenix, Tucson, and unbelievable golf courses over in the desert of Southern California, Palm Springs, and all of those towns over there. Fabulous golf over there in Riverside County. All I can tell you is make sure you hydrate correctly, and not just water. Make sure you have electrolytes, and consult your nutritionist or your physician about this, or your nurse practitioner about this. What's the best way to hydrate? Make sure you do that. Be careful of alcohol because alcohol ultimately dehydrates you. So let's all be careful about that too. All right, Bob, we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, oh, we know what the big one of the big stories has been this week. And I'm not going to do this. I know you think that I'm going to put him in stupid golf and he's going to be my star again. But I'm not, even though I just mentioned it. But I'm not. When we come back, we're going to talk about a very prominent player who we all love a lot and we admire, but he decides to skip this playoff and it caused a bit of a firestorm among the media and even some players. And Dr. Bob will be right there with me. Please listen to these great sponsor advertisements coming up for the next just a couple of 2 or 3 minutes. They're going to help you out, and I appreciate you so very much. We will be back.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for a great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Time. right, we are back, and lots going on to talk about with Dr. Bob Denny, our resident PGA of America historian emeritus. And I've just got some great things that I want to bring up, Bob. But let's do go ahead and have a look at this FedEx leaderboard and where we are and what's happening out there. Now, Tommy Fleetwood shoots first a 63, and then he shoots a 64. I mean, really, when you look at that, it's lights out golf. Colin Morikawa coming in at 66 and 65 to finish out last evening. Ashke Bhatia had a great tournament. He shoots a 62, comes back with a 69, and Justin Rose. Tell me what you think about Justin Rose and what are his chances. Have a look at him.
Well, he had an opening 64, and he was in the middle of the suspension late on Friday, and they wasn't able to finish at the time, do the lightning in the area. But he is tremendously consistent all through the years. He's sort of timeless, and I feel bad he hasn't been able to pull off another major under his belt because he deserves it. He's done so well over the years.
Well, he was right there.
Yes,
he was right there.
He's a tremendous Ryder Cup player. He's a tremendous representative of the game. Back to Tommy Fleetwood for a second. The reason why Tommy's at the top of the leaderboard on that golf course is he has hit the most fairways of anybody up to this point. 85% of the fairways he's hit in 36 holes. You do that, you have a great chance.
Here's your buddy Ludvig Åberg, your favorite player. He finishes the day last evening at 6 under. By the way, folks, there's no cut in this golf tournament because it's a playoff. They will go from, Bob, help me, 70 players to 50.
That's right.
Okay. And we'll mention where they're headed. Where are they going next week?
The BMW Championship.
Mm-hmm. And where will they be playing?
The BMW Championship.
Okay. My buddy Sepp Straka finishes at 5 under. Wyndham Clark.
That's in Caves Valley. It's in Caves Valley. It's outside of Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about this guy named Scottie Scheffler? He's 7 under, and you're looking at a 13 under. So you've got, you got 6 shots. Mm-hmm. Is 6 shots too much to overcome at a playoff where, they're going for it because there's no more. I mean, this is the season's over. These are the playoffs. You're going after the FedEx Cup, and you want to make sure that you are going to the next tournament. Now, we know that he is, and we know that all the leaders here, there's 50 of them going. And we'll have a look at Monday, who missed out as the weekend. As we go through the weekend, Monday, we'll wrap this up and we'll look at who missed out moving forward to the BMW. But we know most of the, top leaderboard here is going. I mean, unless they just start shooting 80s and they're not going to. But can he catch Tommy?
Yes. And the good players on the board don't look at 6 strokes at all. On a Saturday, they look at cutting it down and trimming it what's in range of them. They trim it down sometimes in half. And 6 strokes is nothing in today's golf when there's opportunity for people to drive par fives with irons and sink eagle putts. That's not within the realm of the impossible at all. It's not improbable at all. Scottie Scheffler had a so-so Friday with a 66, a so-so 66. Can you imagine us saying that about 20 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a couple of people write to me this week, and I know that we mentioned we're coming into the playoffs, and one person said, hey, what are the points that the players are going to get going into Thursday? And then I had somebody write to me yesterday and ask me what happened to the point spread as far as, the first person has a 5-stroke lead or however many when you start the tournament. They missed our show and missed that There is none of that. That was done away with this year. Tell us about
Yes, they finally came to their senses,
it.
in the whatever boardroom they were in, and decided that no one's going to be entering the final playoffs with a margin lead of a stroke leads, 10 strokes, whatever it may be, and however they've done in the regular season, which is good. I think there's a lot of ways to look at the playoffs. It's got a lot of tweaking been done to it. It's had more facelifts than most of Hollywood actresses, but I think it's going to have a chance to maybe have some kind of a effect when it comes down to determining, and in this year especially, positioning for Ryder Cup standings and people on the borderline. They're auditioning out there. Some of these players are still auditioning to show that they can make it down the stretch, which that's the interesting part of it for me. But frankly, you see a little bit of a drop off. There's a lingering hangover from a major. Then you just wonder why are we. What did the playoffs do for us? Well, back to what we said earlier in the program, it's great for the fans. It's great for the nonprofits, and certainly in this situation with St. Jude, it's very important to have an event of this size. But I just wondered if we can reach a point where we're happy with the formats. And it where you can get all the players involved in it, and that wasn't been the case in history, and we have another situation this year.
Absolutely, we do. All right. We said that when we came back, listen, this golf tournament is so worthy of our attention, time, viewing it on television, supporting it in any way, as well as because of the St. Jude Children's Hospital and the work that they do and have done so for decades. So make sure you watch the tournament, folks. Have some fun out there wherever you are around the country. Stay safe and all of that as you play golf. But we're going to continue to talk here for a few more minutes and with Dr. Bob Denny and myself, Ray Adams. Now, I'm excited to see that Akshay Bhatia, who shot a
Akshay.
62, Akshay, he is such a wonderful player. And I would love to see him contend with Tommy and Justin Rose. Colin could likely be there as well, although he's been sort of up and down and going through his issues this year. But I would certainly love to see Justin, Bhatia, and Fleetwood fighting it out on Sunday afternoon. Now, of course, I believe Scottie Scheffler is going to be there. But even if he's not, I think these three are the ones that I'm most excited to see fight it out. Who are your favorites to fight it out Sunday afternoon?
Justin Rose is up there for me. I have a personal enjoyment watching Akshay play.
I do too.
I saw him win on tape at the Valhalla for the Junior PGA Championship. He's already got two victories under his belt. He knows how to win. Thanks to Lucas Glover, he learned how to handle the long putter and use that for his confidence builder. He gets down on himself. He puts a lot of pressure on himself. He's admitted that in interviews when he doesn't have to do all that. He's got the talent. He's an excellent driver of the ball for a man who's built like a toothpick, and he's just it's a fine player. So I like to see that evolve. But once again, in people's crowd favorite and deep in their heart, they like to see Tommy try to break through and see what happens.
All right. We are back from our hard break. I wanted to, pr I promised the listeners that we were going to get into it. Now, I don't want to make this a case that goes before Congress, but there are player directors. The media was, I think, a bit furious about this, that Rory McIlroy decided to skip the tournament. And it has prompted conversations that something needs to be done about this. We talked about it on Monday night, the Golf Lifestyle Show this past Monday evening. And we're talking about it again today. We might even mention it on Monday. I don't know, because I have two very, very special guests coming on Monday at the end of the show. But with that said, Rory misses the tournament. We've got a little bit of a firestorm that happened going on. And they're talking now that they need to do another tweak that would prohibit this from happening again. And I think that that has grown, that crescendo has grown, Bob, over the week, from sponsors to the events to the fans to the tour, especially FedEx Cup. That how do you skip a playoff and you could still come back and maybe win it, Bob?
Well, he's taken advantage of the format rules where he can skip and not be penalized. He's found a loophole and he's taken it to his advantage. He hasn't played well on that golf course traditionally over the last previous years, but he can do that and then come back and not and be back in the hunt again for the rest of the playoffs. And he is. Other players aren't going to have the luxury to do that. That's for sure. It's really awkward with 69 players in the field, not 70, and also that you have a title sponsor like FedEx that has put so much money into this and the fans. That's one of the unique things. We have to go back in history, Ray, to 2007 when Tiger Woods did the same, and he promoted a game that he had, a video game at the time, and. They didn't blink an eye much about it, and he came back and he won two events and won the FedEx Cup. So, but it's got to have a point where you say, are all players going to be in or not? And that's where the tour has to come up and make a decision. And it's in the works. At least Peter Malnati has made an inference on that online about it. And
I think something's going to change.
yes,
I
but
just have this, I'd have this
Right.
gut feeling that with this and the reaction to it, where the media has felt the pain and they've reacted, the fans, the FedEx company, the tour, the event itself, I think they're going to make a change. Now, when will they do it? What will that change be? How are they going to, manipulate that? I don't know. We'll find out. Let's see what happens. But we're going to have fun watching that. I think something's going to happen, though. We're going to have to play it because Rory should have been there. Now, remember when Rory finally decided to speak to the media after boycotting them for weeks, one of his comments was, I've earned the right to do what I want to do. I'm not, those are not the exact words, but they are about the words. I've earned the right to do what I think I've earned the right to do what I want to do. Has he?
Once again, he's an independent contractor, and
Well, now are they?
they're all independent contractors.
Because if they really are, then why did we have such a big mess 3 years ago with Liv?
Why do we have a mess with Liv?
We did have one. They're supposed to be independent contractors. They should be able to go play wherever they want to play. But they are, but they're not.
But the tour has its own set of rules for membership, okay?
Well,
Well,
okay.
Rory is an independent contractor and a PGA Tour member, and he's a European DP World Tour member as well. He's
Yeah.
got dual membership,
Right.
but every one of those players is an independent contractor. There's no
They
cut
are for
salary.
tax.
There's no
They
cut
are.
salary.
That's true. They're not employees, so therefore they must be independent contractors.
That's
And
right.
this is for tax purposes. However, there's a tremendous amount of controls that the PGA Tour puts on the players, and they do so by whatever the membership rules are, and those change from time to time. And I think one of them is you need to play in the playoffs. I mean, listen, Tom Brady didn't get to skip one of the playoff games when he was playing, nor does any sport playing right now get to skip playoff games.
Yeah,
The last I checked.
big difference between football and golf. Massive difference.
Well, those are team sports. I understand that. And they're employees of their teams and what have you. And that is correct. For tax purposes, you're right. But let's just see what they do. I just wanted to get that little point in, Bob.
Okay,
And then let you
that's
come.
your point.
And then, right, and then let you come back and contradict me, or tell me where I'm going wrong is a better way to put it. All right, another person giving some folks some heartburn, and he's not doing it on purpose. And he's one of my favorite guys out there, is Keegan Bradley, for the Ryder Cup coming up next month. What are we doing about a captaincy? How is that going to be handled? We're going to be focusing and drilling down much, 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 much more now that we're very close. What are we, 6 weeks away or so from the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black on Long Island in New York coming up? There is some heartburn out there going on. By the way, we are going to have Don Rae, president of the PGA of America, joining us. I had a long talk with Don a couple of days ago about a variety of things, and probably the biggest part was the Ryder Cup and some of the things happening, Keegan's captaincy, as well as him possibly playing. Go ahead.
Right now, Keegan was 10th at before this program began in the standings, and he is holding it at that level, but he's not having a very good start this that for on through this first two rounds of this championship. Chris Goddard, for instance, is really not going to make it for the next round because he's towards the bottom of the scoreboard. And there's a lot of different ways that you can look at it. Who's going to be healthy enough? Who's playing their strongest? Captain always takes that into consideration. Keegan's got his probably A, B, and C list in his pocket on who he wants to look at. And he's just in a unique situation being a, that he has a chance to qualify for himself. But I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think he wouldn't be out of the blue in bad shape if the other players behind him are playing well, or the other players ahead of him are playing well. I talk about the first nine. Well, the first nine, according to the are looking on the current Ryder Cup standings, are all playing pretty well at this point.
Well, during my conversation with Don Rae, and I don't want to quote him or take words out of his mouth, but I'm sure that it's okay for me to say that Don was, if Keegan wants to play, fine, he can play as captain because we have Jim Furyk there. And Jim Furyk was chosen pretty much for this role. He's already been a Ryder Cup captain. Don said he's been chosen for this role. So he's there, he's capable. If Keegan wants to play, Jim Furyk is right there. What do you make of that?
I also think it's pretty unique. Here we are in 2025, and we're having this discussion about a playing captain. Well, you know what? I don't think this is going to be the end of it. I think there's going to be future playing captain situations coming down the road. I don't
And I
think this
think
can
you're right
happen.
about that. I think if Keegan plays, he is going to break a mold that we haven't had a playing captain since what, Arnold Palmer?
1963.
So, a couple hundred years ago. And I think if Keegan does play, I think he'll break history there. He'll make history there. And I think future captains, if they are playing well, if they're young enough, strong enough, playing well enough, like Keegan is, may go ahead and play.
I think he's just an excellent writer, excuse me, a Ryder Cup player in the past. I think he was denied a chance in
Yes.
Medina to play in the afternoon when he should have been under Davis Love. And I think he's a feisty competitor. I
No,
watched him.
you talked about, wait, aren't you talking about Keegan in Rome under Zach?
No, I'm talking about Keegan and Medina
Oh,
playing when he was paired with Phil Mickelson.
refresh. Oh, refresh
Yeah,
us.
yes, that was in 2012.
We're too tired.
It was Phil Mickelson walking up to the captain, says, "We're too tired to play right now." And so he rested both of them. That was a fatal blow.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, for points.
But wasn't he sick? And we talked about this for a
Keegan
long time.
was not sick in Medina. He was
No,
not sick.
I'm
No.
talking about sick at heart,
Oh,
about
yes.
not being able to play in Rome.
Oh, yes. Totally different subject.
This is scar tissue for
Flipping
Keegan.
the page, flipping the
Correct.
page, right?
Yes. No, I understand.
So
No, and
he was denied to play in the key matches in the Medina before the singles, and he was not even given a chance to play in Rome.
And I know this is what they call scar tissue. Let's see what happens here. I hope Keegan, I know he's going to make the right decision for the Ryder Cup because they want to win. And that's the only thing anybody cares about as far as that goes. I would like to see him play personally because I think he's our new Captain America. What about you?
I think he is tremendous at match play. I have nothing against him there. I think he blends well with people. He fires people up, and he first certainly relates to the crowd. He certainly does.
And they reciprocate that.
Oh, yes.
They're going to love him up there because he is a New Englander, eh?
Yes, he is.
There
Yes, he is.
you go. All right, so Keegan, a little heartburn there, a little side story going on there. Bob, Rory skips Memphis. We covered that one. And I've got a couple of wonderful new sponsors that I want to introduce. So, Bob, I'm going to give you the final word on your segment here.
Okay, I'd like to give you a nugget. Okay.
Oh, we can't wait for nuggets. We love
Okay.
them.
Okay. Well, today in history, Ray, in the very first time that a golf championship was broadcast nationally, it was on August 9, 1953, at the World Championship of Golf in Niles, Illinois, Tam O'Shanter Club. The player of the moment was Lew Worsham. He was trailing by 2 strokes to Chandler Harper with 2 holes to play. He birdies 17. He comes into the 18th hole, has a wedge shot into to a par four, and holes it for an eagle to win the championship. And how great it was for the promoter, George May, to see this happening on his watch, as which really was amazing. And at the time, he walked away with what is that time the highest purse at that time in 1953, $25,000. And Lew Worsham won it, and he made that shot on TV at that one celebrated one televised hole, and it will always relay with his shining moment.
Isn't that a wonderful nugget? And, you know, when I was a little boy, my dad would sit in our family room and I would sit in on the floor next to him, the easy chair next to that one with a tiny table in the middle was reserved for my wonderful mother. But when mom wasn't in that chair, I would sneak up and sit in it as a kid. And with my dad, we would watch golf. And, you know, those are fond memories. And I remember celebrity golf and the big three golf. And, you know, and then, and it's funny too, as you grow up and you go through the broadcast history of golf, how primitive it was. And we would look at that today and say, how did anybody watch that? Well, it's how we did everything, you know, 40 years ago or whatever, 50 years ago. All right, Dr. Bob Denny, there he is. Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful evening, afternoon and evening watching golf. And we're going to come back on Monday, the Golf Lifestyle Show, to wrap all this up with you and we presume Craig Renshaw and maybe a very special guest. Everybody have a wonderful Saturday and watch this golf and enjoy and or get out and play as well. Now, I have two wonderful companies that I want to introduce to you. And when I do this, I'm saying that as I did earlier in the show. The one of the companies is a financial advisory company. And earlier in the show, I said my shows, any show, TV shows, movies on television, you know, radio, podcast, everything depends on sponsors. And I presume to say that all of them that you might listen to have sponsors. And so, of course, I'm very grateful for my sponsors over 25 years, but I want to always be very special to my new sponsors. And one of them is the Crimson Glory Advisory Group. Now, Caleb Jelsic is a very, very highly educated and trained young man who can help you with your financial needs. Folks, for the top-notch financial advice, you want to turn to Crimson Glory Advisory Group. They provide holistic financial guidance, custom retirement plans with tax minimization, and tailored investment strategies to fit your needs. They're based in Phoenix, Arizona, although they serve clients not just across the valley, but beyond. Doesn't matter where you are, Caleb can help you. And I want you to make sure, folks, that you call 360-480, 360-480-0214. You will get some complimentary insight into your future. And one more time, that's 360-480-0214. 0214, the Crimson Glory Advisory Group, new in our business impact segments. And Caleb will be joining us from time to time. I'll be talking about them myself. Thank you so very, very much, Caleb, for being a part of our shows and what we are doing. Now, I also want to introduce a health provider who is going to be providing so many things that you golfers need. But the most important thing, and the one that I am the most interested in, and why I decided and he decided we together would bring him on board as a sponsor of our health and wellness segment, is that Gavin Rutledge is a person who is so trained in his medical training. And we're going to go over all of the different certifications and degrees and what have you that he has earned over his career, and then the wonderful career that he has. But for our purposes, I want you to know ActiveX, his company, his practice, is ideal for lower back pain and sciatica. He's got a new book coming out this September, and there are various ways that he's going to be able to help you. He has ways to do this online, and I want to let you know that there is a campaign in the works, not just to bring Gavin on every so often to talk to you live on the show, but to put you in touch with ActiveX Clinic so that he can help you. You can enter into his programs. We will be talking about lower back pain for golfers as well as sciatica. And this is such an important part of golfers everywhere and of all ages and both men and women. I'm telling you, there are very few that play the game, folks, that do not end up with or along the way have intermittent issues with their lower back with pain and sciatica related issues. So if you've got questions, I want you to write to me, golfadams@msn.com. golfadams@msn.com, my email, about your lower back pain or your sciatica. And I'm going to give those questions to Gavin Rutledge. I'm also going to ask you to send me an email, golfadams@msn.com. If you have any financial questions, just in general, if you have any needs or issues, and I'll put you in touch, of course, with our wonderful sponsor from Crimson Glory Advisory Group. All right, folks, that's it for today. I appreciate you so very much. Have a great time this weekend watching golf, playing golf. Make sure you hydrate. Watch that lower back. Make sure you do exercises and get ready for Gavin Rutledge to be joining us, as well as all of our other wonderful sponsors.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.